Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy to head out to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We bid a hearty good morning to our friend Dave Richard, fantasy football expert for CBSSports.com. Dave, how has your offseason been, my friend? Good to hear from you.
It's great to hear your voice. It's going to be great to hear everybody's voice. What off season?
There is no off season. That is correct.
Listen, so my role changed a little bit during the off season, and I spent the off season studying up for the NFL draft and writing player profile and getting to know these rookies, because you kind of need to know them in fantasy football. And then part of my time this preseason has been spent at joint practices. I'm actually on my way to one today between the Jaguars and the Dolphins. You get a lot more out of those practices than you do out of a preseason game. I even saw the Commanders when they practiced against the Patriots. So I have logged a lot of mileage, my friend.
Very good.
What was your take?
Ready, and I've got the fantasy juice you guys want.
What was your take when you saw the Skins? By most accounts, the Patriots got the better of that day.
They did on offense. And it's really hard to tell with Washington's offense just because Terry isn't there. But I think they're trying to get Deebo Samuel to be used more as a downfield threat. And then Zach Ertz is just like the go-to guy when Jaden Daniels is under any kind of pressure. And I kind of love that for fantasy, and you can get Zach Ertz late. And I remember all the buzz at camp. And remember, this is, what is today, the 21st? So this is almost 3 weeks ago. The buzz all about camp was Jacory Crossley-Merritt. Mm-hmm, and I remember looking at him next to Brian Robinson, and I thought to myself, you know, he's kind of smaller, and, you know, he might be a little bit quicker. And now everybody's kind of going crazy for him. I'm not so sure.
You're not sold?
I'm not. I think, and I don't know if the Commanders are either, and I don't think they have to be because of who else they have in that backfield. And so everybody's kind of rushing in fantasy drafts toward Crossley-Merritt. I'm thinking Austin Ekeler ends up being a bigger part of that offense than he was last year. Coaches are going to trust him more. He's more versatile. I think that offense could stand to be a little bit more versatile. And we know he can catch passes with the best of them. So I'm kind of looking for Ekeler this year, and I'm going to let everybody else draft Crossley-Merritt.
And Dave, he's going super late in mocks. I'm talking about Ekeler because I think people are they're getting steamed up for Bill Crossley-Merritt. So you can probably just wait around and grab Ekeler, like, I don't know, 9th, 10th round, or is his price going up?
Wasn't Ekeler a disappointment last season?
Well, two concussions.
From a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, because he was injured.
So he did a great job in his role for the Commanders. And there were three games last year when Brian Robinson was out, and we saw Austin Ekeler average like 15 PPR points per game. Remember, the catches count big for Ekeler, and he's not quite as exciting if it's half PPR or non-PPR. But I can't resist. I don't think he's lost a lot. I don't think he's slower. I don't think he's bad. And I think I know that the running backs coach has been with Ekeler for a long time. I know he trusts them. And I just can't help but think to myself, all right, you've got all these running backs that are kind of unproven. Maybe the Commanders will be smart, especially with a second-year quarterback, to have a proven entity in that backfield. If they don't make any other moves, then I think Ekeler in that round 9, round 10 range is the way to go.
If you have a fantasy football question for Dave Richard, fantasy guru for CBSSports.com, give us a call at 1-800-636-1067. So since you said you've been bouncing around camps and we're talking running backs, what kind of year do you expect from the rookie Ashton Jeanty?
I think he's going to be pretty damn good. And the thing that I saw, you couldn't really tell in the first preseason game because his offensive line totally sucked. But the second preseason game, you saw a lot of the traits that you saw at Boise State, the low center of gravity, the balance, his ability to just bounce off of other human beings and continue moving his feet and moving downfield. He's got good speed. You didn't really see much of his hands. And you didn't see it last year either because they were trying to get him Barry Sanders' rushing record at Boise State. But he can catch the ball. Do you know that he was once upon a time an all-district wide receiver in Texas in high school. So there is a lot of great talent and athleticism with him. I think he's worthy of a first-round pick, but it's going to be toward the back of the first round if it's PPR, closer to the middle of the first round if it's non-PPR, because running backs get pushed up in that format. I think he's going to be pretty damn good.
All right, sticking with rookies, we don't know the breakdown for Travis Hunter offensively versus defense, but is he going to be worthy of a high fantasy draft choice?
So I think if you're using the term high, I'm thinking rounds 3 and 4, because there's no chance he's going to be even higher than that. And I'm going to say no, I don't think he's going to be worth it there. I think if you can get him, let's call it 60th overall. Let's get really, really detailed there. I think he'll be worth it then. The thing that he can bring to that Jaguars offense immediately is a reliable short area target who can make plays after the catch. And Liam Cohen, their new head coach, is their new play caller. He did a masterful job last year scheming up the Bucs. And I think he's going to do it again this year with the Jaguars. And getting that guy, Hunter, in position to catch, you know, short little 5-yard passes from Trevor Lawrence and get him on a track to where he can make a play after the catch, I think he can be potentially devastating. There's going to be some games the Jaguars win this year that they're not supposed to win because of Travis Hunter. And I would expect him to play, let's call it 75% of the offensive snaps, and then maybe, you know, 40% of the defensive snaps. I think they're going to try and use him a lot. And when he's out there, I think you could expect him to be good for a minimum of like 11 PPR points per game, but a ceiling. He's going to have some 20-point games this year.
Dave, you mentioned you're going to be at the Dolphins-Jags practice. I've got a lot of questions about the Finns. What do I do with Tyreek? I mean, he, to me, seems like a real, like, critical type of pick. Like, if he has a bounce-back year, I mean, we know what he can do at his peak of his powers. I mean, that guy can give you, like, 1,500 receiving yards and score 15 or more touchdowns, or he could be gimpy and banged up and underperform. And following in that, what's going on with Achan? Because I was high on him. Now I see he has a calf injury. Do we know how many, like, is he going to miss multiple weeks? Like, what's going to happen there?
All right, so a lot to get into here. Let's start with Achan. From what the Dolphins are saying, they expect him ready to go for week 1. But nobody's really believing that. He's falling in fantasy drafts into round 2. My advice is to buy the dip, because when he's right, we know that he's capable of potentially being the best running back in fantasy football if it's PPR, because he's going to catch a lot of passes. He's very, very fast, and the Dolphins are going to scheme him up a lot. This is going to be my second Dolphins practice that I'm going to attend. In the first one, Achan was all over the place. He was used on wheel routes and all kinds of screens and slants. They're going to use him a ton in that passing game. And so I would imagine that if you're getting him at a discount because of this calf injury, I think he's worth the risk, especially if we're talking round 2. Now, Tyreek Hill. When I was at that first Dolphins practice, it was Jalen Waddle lighting things up against the Dolphins defense. It was not Tyreek Hill. And Tua Tagovailoa can't stop talking about the chemistry that he has to rebuild with Tyreek Hill. I think there's something going on there, and it makes me a little nervous to take Tyreek Hill based on what we know he can be. So I'm trying to draft him a lot closer to his floor than his ceiling. That being said, his floor is still really good. It could be as low as 15 PPR points per game. You can pencil him in for 1,000 yards. Can he get to 1,600 yards and 10 touchdowns? I think that that's a bridge too far. If I can get Tyreek Hill in round 3, I'm good with it. If I've got to take a pick in early round 3 or late round 2 to get Tyreek Hill, I'm going to pass. I'm going to look at some other wide receivers and PPR like Ladd McConkey, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Those guys are ahead of Tyreek Hill.
We're joined by Dave Richard on the Rude Guest Hotline. This is an important question. Are you team Saquon or are you fade Saquon after his amazing year last year with the Eagles?
So I did the research on running backs that are coming off of huge carry seasons. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Saquon Barkley, he had 482 touches when you combine the regular season and the playoffs, and 430 of them were carries. And again, that's regular season and playoffs. It's one of the highest amounts of carries and total touches that any running back has had since, like, 1990. It's crazy how much work he had. The track record of running backs that have that kind of work tails off the following year. It's anywhere from missing 7 games to losing 25% of their fantasy production. It's just, it's very rare when one of the running backs steps up. It's something like 7 of 28, I think, running backs did as good or better the following year. Saquon himself has had 2 years of his career where he's had over 250 carries or in a season, and he's dipped back at least 15% each of those two seasons, and he's missed three games each of those following seasons. So if you're drafting Saquon Barkley, you need to know this information that there's a realistic – first of all, there's almost no chance he's going to have 2,000 yards again. That's crazy. But there's a realistic chance that he ends up missing a bunch of games and not being anywhere near as efficient as he was last year. We know he's not going to get any of those tush-push carries. Those are all going to go to Jalen Hurts. It makes me nervous to take Saquon Barkley with a top five pick. But I'm okay with him toward the back end of round one because I think that he can still be good for 17 points per game, 1,600 total yards. Maybe he sees an uptick in catches. We know those receivers are banged up in Philadelphia. That offensive line's pretty good in Philadelphia. So I'm not necessarily fading him. I'm fading him based on his average draft position, which is third overall. If I can get him 8th, 9th, 10th, I'm okay with that. Otherwise, there's other players, there's other running backs for sure, like Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Christian McCaffrey that I'd rather have.
Dave, I know a second-year quarterback that you officially love that you have in your top 12. I know who that is. He plays in New England, Drake May. I know that you love him, especially loading up your team early and picking Drake May late. Do you advocate that for our listeners?
Absolutely. And I saw him practice against the Commanders, and really I was focused more on him than Jayden Daniels because I know what Jayden Daniels is. And May was very impressive. He did a great job of winning the pass rush. He made plays off schedule. He says he doesn't want to run more, but anytime there's an opportunity inside the 10 where there's pathway in front of him to run it in, he's going to run it in. And I almost feel like he was the type of quarterback that kind of elevated his wide receivers in the practice against Washington. And I like Washington's defense. I like their secondary. And they were getting beat by the likes of Kayshon Booty. Stephon Diggs rarely practiced that day. He had like five snaps in team drills. DeMario Douglas was one of his top receivers. Hunter Henry. Drake May was carving them up. He had a really good day. I think only two throws were off target. That's good. And I think just the rushing upside combined with the fact that he seems to be evolving as a passer makes him worth the risk as a top 12 quarterback. I moved him out of Justin Fields. A lot of people love Justin Fields because of his rushing potential. I can't stand him as a passer, and I'm worried about what this Jets offense will look like this year. So it's easy for me to take Drake May ahead of Justin Fields.
Where's a guy like Brock Bowers get drafted?
He's going to get drafted as a top 20 pick, maybe even top 15. I won't advocate for that. I think it's just too much. Going back to Genty, he's going to make the Raiders a good running team. And then the Raiders, I mean, Pete Carroll's the head coach and Chip Kelly's the offensive coordinator. Do you really think they're going to throw the ball 40 times a game? I don't think it's going to happen. And so it's going to be a lot different than last year when the Raiders were fourth in pass rate and they didn't have anybody who could really run the ball. Now they've got the best rookie in the class running the football. That's going to take pass attempts off of Geno Smith's shoulders. It's going to take targets away from everybody in the Raiders passing game, including Brock Bowers. If you can get him, he's not even my favorite tight end in full PPR. I'll take Trey McBride over Bowers. And I love Bowers. You know how much I talked about him last year. But if we're talking the 2-3 turn, 25th overall, if you can get Bowers then, that's fine with me. But earlier than that, 15th, 10th overall, I've seen him go that high. He's not going to be like Travis Kelce.
Dave, how do drafters handle Rashee Rice? You mentioned Travis Kelce in that passing offense for the Chiefs. We know he's going to get suspended. He has his hearing on September 30th. That's in, obviously, the body of the NFL season. Like, how do you approach drafting him, and how does that impact like drafting Xavier Worthy from that team as well?
Okay. And when I said, Bowers can be Kelce, I meant Kelce back when he was a stud, not when he was, hanging out with Taylor Swift. Okay. So when you draft players, do you draft players and you go, oh, yes, I'm glad I got him because he's going to be a pain in the butt all season long? You don't say that.
Generally,
right? No one wants to draft a headache. And I'm afraid the Rashee Rice is going to be a big headache this year because we just have so much uncertainty regarding the suspension. We know that there's going to be a hearing on September 30th, or maybe not. We don't know if he's going to be suspended for 4 games, 6 games, 10 games. It could be anywhere in between. And we don't know when that suspension will actually even start. What if you draft Rashee Rice and he gets you off to a decent start, and then you don't even have him on the leadoff to your fantasy playoff? And he's taking up a bench spot for you. And there's just, it's too much. It's too big of a pain in the butt. Until there's more clarity, I'm kind of out on Rashee Rice. If I can get him in round 6, maybe I'll be willing to deal with it then. Then at least he's not as – I'll have 5 other players on my team. that are going to be better, and I'll cope with it at that point with Rashee Rice. But if people are going to take him in round four and round five, I'm not in on that. And I think Worthy is the better bet anyway, because he's more explosive. He proved that he could hang in this league last year. And even Kelce, like, he'll be okay. I'd look at him in like round seven, round eight, somewhere in there. He's never going to make it that far, but if he did, I would take him at that point. But really, this whole Kansas City offense, I think it's going to come down to how efficient Worthy is. And if Worthy's good, Mahomes will be great. If Worthy isn't good, this offense will be kind of tepid like it was last year.
Hey, every year, and maybe you're still a couple of weeks away from announcing it. Well, I guess maybe a week. You always have like a sleeper. Like a sleeper that nobody's really thinking about. He becomes your guy. Sometimes you weave him into your Twitter profile.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a guy this year from bouncing around camps?
I have names, but I'm not ready to settle on the one name. And the thing that's really bothered me each of the last 2 years, I do a whole column on the guys that are on the sleeper list. And I always want the first name to be the guy.
Right.
It's been the second name on that list that has been the guy. And the first name has been either okay or, in the case of last year, absolutely fizzled out and it was a total disaster. So I really need to make sure that...
Who were the second guys the last couple of years? Just
last year, it was Zach Ertz, who ended up being awesome.
It's a good one.
After a slow start. Yep. And then the year before that, Jalen Warren was the main guy. And I'm blanking right now on who the second guy was, but he's pretty good. Let me give you some names. Eckler is going to be one of those guys that I'm going to take in pretty much every draft.
Okay.
Let's say I'm taking Eckler in round nine. In round eight, I'm going to take Tyler Warren of the Indianapolis Colts every single time.
Ooh.
And so while I can't say that he's a late round sleeper, this tight end is awesome. And I don't think he's going to be as good as Brock Bowers was last year, but he's going to be better than most of the tight ends in the National Football League. And those are going to be two picks that I'm pretty much going to lock into in every single one of my drafts, Warren in round eight and Austin Eckler in round nine. And then I'll give you another name. I'm kind of marinating on this one. And I know I just, you know, talk bad about the Raiders passing game, but I've really liked what I've seen from rookie Dante Thornton in that Raiders offense. He's a guy that could end up being worth a late pick. Tall, lean, fast, long arms, downfield threat. I don't know if the Raiders really have any other downfield threats other than Bowers, but this is a guy who's faster than Bowers.
Got less than a minute here. Did you happen to go to Bears camp? I'm intrigued by what Ben Johnson, that offense, might look like. What do you think?
Okay. So the good news is Ben Johnson is a play designer and play caller. It's going to be a hit. I was watching his practice from the end zone, and I couldn't tell where the ball was after the snap every play. So I imagine the linebackers and safeties that they play will be tough. The biggest issue in this offense is not Caleb Williams. It's the offensive line. And they made all kinds of improvements to it. Five false starts in a practice. Four would be sacks in a practice. And they were playing against Buffalo's defense, and Buffalo's defense is good. But that offensive line is a problem. And Caleb Williams, when he's pressured, was a problem last year. He was a problem at USC when it happened. And so that's going to be the genesis of all my concerns for the Bears offense. Until they get that offensive line fixed, I don't know if they're ever going to be able to meet their potential.
Ooh, does not sound good for Caleb if that thing does not improve.
No, he's not a top 12 quarterback. He's not even a top 15 quarterback.
Wow. Okay. Well, Dave, awesome advice as always. We look forward to having you on throughout the season again. Drafts are looming. It's draft season, baby. We made it. We're back.
Yes. How many drafts do you guys have this weekend?
I don't think I have one until like a week from now. Right around Labor Day, I've got a bunch of them.
Jason, I'm in the middle of a long college fantasy draft right now.
Nerd.
Awesome.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, buddy.
You got it, guys. Yep. For those who are drafting this weekend, good luck.
Thank you, sir. That's Dave Richard from CBSSports.com, at Dave Richard on your Twitter. Coming up in just about 40 minutes, Warren Sharp will join us. We'll talk more NFL with him at 9 a.m.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.